Hello students, it's a pleasure to be back again. I'm A.S. Pillai. I authored this book, Strategic Management, for Wellinger Business School. And I would be very happy to present today's chapter 3 on external environment analysis. In the last two chapters, chapters 1 and 2, we discussed in detail about strategic management process, why it is important for organizations to adopt strategic management process for long-term success. Strategic management process has become an integral part of today's most of the organizations. Of course, I'm talking about at the enterprise level. Some of the medium and small enterprises, they are yet to adopt. But the mid-sized organizations are greatly, you know, enthused by adopting 3-year strategy, 4-year strategy, 5-year strategy in order to clearly chart out a plan for a long-term growth of the organization. When I say long-term growth, it is not just the revenue growth, also the profit growth. So we call it as profitable growth. Profitable growth is growth doesn't come by just focusing on day-to-day operations. The organization has to continually plan and devise new strategies and ruthlessly implement the strategies chosen. And that's all about and review the process, review the strategic management process. So the four stages that we had seen earlier were the environment analysis, the second one being strategy formulation, the third one being strategy execution, the fourth one being the evaluation and control. These four cornerstones form the center cornerstone of strategic management process, and every organization should follow this process, customizing it to their environment. We had seen in great detail how organizations who have adopted strategic management process have been able to move up the value chain, have been able to add and create value for their stakeholders, be it the shareholders, the board, the management, the employees, the customers, the partners, and the society at large. Most importantly, the society. Because that's how you create value for your stakeholders, different stakeholders which are impacted by your organization. So I think we had seen that in great detail in the first chapter. I thought I'll just do a recap. So having said that, the strategic management process being an important cornerstone in an organization's growth journey, what are the different things that you need to do differently, and how do you put a clear-cut, defined process within your organization to take it to the next level? So we had seen first step towards that journey is defining your industry very clearly. You have to define the industry where it will belong to, because there are a lot of implications when it comes to attaching your industry to a particular industry, attaching your organization to a particular industry, because you have to be abiding by the rules of the government, the regulatory bodies, the external environment, the macroeconomic factors. You have to align your entire organization to the external environment. Some of those factors and the forces you may not have direct control with. So how do you deal with all these things? So you look at the industry from a competition standpoint. You look at because competition is all doing well and they are going ahead of you, and then how do you do a catch up, or how do you want to lead the market and become a leader, or you want to stay as a laggard, or you want to create a niche domain and then you want to excel in it, or you want to become a visionary or a leader. So that means you can stay ahead of the value curve, your company becomes innovative, and you command a great respect and a brand name in the industry, and then thereby you're able to contribute a whole lot to the socio-economic environment in the country. So having said this, now industry and competition analysis are two important things before you start your strategic management process. The mark to market of the industry with the industry, and then understanding what are the factors, how do you benchmark yourself, and what kind of tools that you'll be using, like the Gartner tool or the IDC tool or different tools that are available in the market from an industry competition analysis standpoint. So These things are very important as a as the setting the stage as setting the stage for you know, devising a robust strategic management process for your organization. Now let's get into the process. The next step in the strategic management process is environment analysis, external environment. The external environment is very important because from that perspective, you know, there are I would call in an acronym called PEST analysis. It is very popularly known as, you know, political, legal and regulatory. All this is one category, because whatever the government decides to do, it will have a major ramification or you know, implication to the industry, different industries in the marketplace. So that is one, P. The first one stands for P, which is political, legal and regulatory. The second one is economic forces, E. So the economic forces are going to really impact your organization in very different forms. So you need to, how do we look at that, you know, how do you proactively plan and mitigate the risks due to fluctuations and you know, uncertainty or volatility in the market and the economy. So that is the second one. The third one is S, which is social forces. Social forces is very important because your organization is in a social environment. How does it impact a social and demographic part of the overall environment? How it is going to impact your organization? So let us see all that. The fourth one is demographic. We have seen that, you know, demographic. India is a large country with 120 crore population or 1.2 billion population. And it presents a great opportunity, challenge as well as opportunity for every organization, both in India as well as the global companies who want to set up business in India. We will also talk about the technological forces, that is the T, which is missed out here, PEST, how technology is going to impact your organization from an overall perspective. There are a lot of innovation that keeps happening across industries, whether it is automobile industry or financial services industry or IT industry or telecom industry or mobile industry or even the e-commerce industry, retail industry. The way we do things today have changed drastically and dramatically over the last few years. And every day there is a lot of change that's happening in the marketplace. So how does your organization cope up with all those challenges with regard to changes in technology, changes in customer expectation for your products and services? This is going to be the key thing for your profitable growth. So we will see all that. Then we'll also talk about environment scanning and what are the best methods of forecasting the environment. There are multiple ways of doing, forecasts, you know, predict your future. But it is very difficult to get a precise and perfect prediction and forecasting of your environment, given the constraints, given the challenges, given the uncertainty the markets are going through, the whole global economy is going through. So we'll see that. So this is the framework. Within this framework, we'll talk about each factor, each force, how it's going to impact the economy, the market, and your industry and your company in particular. So let's talk about, these are the forces outside your industry. You know, we have talked about industry and competition analysis. That's probably, you'll have a good visibility. You'll have good control, not exactly control, but you will have a lot of information about your industry, a lot of information about your competition. Still there are many other forces that are beyond the industry and, your organization and your competition. So we need to capture all of those. And then from day one, before you start making the strategic strategy for your organization, how do you look at it? How do you plan yourself? How do you list down the risks? How do you do a mitigation plan for alleviating the risk for your organization? It's a process to analyze the environment external to the industry and the competition, to understand the broad factors of the macroeconomic environment. You know, how does it impact your industry as a whole, thereby impacting your company, you know, in the process. So your revenues can get impacted, your market share can get impacted, or your profitability can get impacted, or your customer acquisition strategy can get impacted. So all of that we need to see. We'll also talk about, as in the previous case, we talked about the tools in the industry and competition analysis, whether it is a SWOT analysis or a, you know, reports like IDC and Gartner. So we have to use certain tools, you know, whereby you are able to, you know, have control. You're able to, you know, forecast. You're able to see how this industry is going to move, how this market is going to move, how this environment is going to help me in order to do my business, in order to not only just do business, how do I become a leader in this business? How do I become successful in this business? How do I create value for my stakeholders? So this is the whole objective of this particular chapter. I'm sure you'll be enjoying it, like you have enjoyed the fundamentals of strategic management process and industry and competition analysis, the last two chapters. I would be very glad, you know, anytime in the future, if you have any questions, you can always write to me through vSchool. I would be more than glad to, you know, assist you in any regard. Let's talk about what are the different categories of, you know, macroeconomic environment. So, as I said earlier, the first category is coming under the government purview, which is basically the political, legal, and legal system and the regulatory environment. So that's where, you know, the government policy, it could be anything, government policies and, you know, government, parliament enacts law and policies for, you know, the whole economy. So in that process, government policy towards FDI in different sectors, different verticals, different industries. Suppose, you know, you are in the insurance industry, what happens if a foreign direct investment cap is increased from 24% to 49%? So that means it's going to bring in a lot of foreign capital into the market. So it's going to help the insurance company in terms of expanding the business and diversifying into the other financial services, related financial services, you know, in the country. So that thereby it is going to impact in a whole lot. FDI is going to impact in a whole lot for a particular industry. Or what happens if defense sector is being opened up to the foreign direct investment? So a lot of manufacturing activity will start happening because the companies are going to manufacture the defense equipment within India rather than importing. Thereby, it is helping the helping in the improving the trade deficit as well as creating jobs for the manufacturing sector, because those companies will be bringing in capital into the country and they'll start putting up plants and manufacturing facilities in order to produce those, defense capital goods. So that is going to really impact. So similar way, FDI is being opened up. This government, new government has taken over, Modi government, the NDA government. They started doing a lot of things around the foreign direct investment, which is a major shift. I mean, it's been continuing from the earlier UPA government, but they didn't have mandate. UPA didn't have much of mandate in the parliament. But Modi government has a lot of mandate. The NDA government is taking up the job seriously, and they are taking every step to revive the economy, which has been going through a major downturn in the last couple of years. So similarly, the legal things, that there are taxes and duties. How does it impact if an excise duty increase or decrease? How does it impact automobile industry or a mobile phone industry or a computer industry or white goods, electronic consumer goods? There are so many things happening in this market. So definitely government policies are going to impact the overall environment. Supreme Court, High Court judgments. There are many judgments around the 2G scam, the gold scam, the it's all these are going to impact the industry, the industries or the companies which are working in that particular industry. So these are things, I think it's a good learning for all of us, when what kind of governance, what kind of compliance, what kind of risk management every organization needs to do in order not to get into these legal escalations and legal issues, because it will take up a lot of the organization time in order to set right the bad reputation that you created for the company has created for itself. So I think it's very important, because legal and legal implications can bring down the company. It can any scandal or scam can definitely impact the company in the long term. You know, the company will not be able to come up and revive its business for a long time to come, because it's not going to go away that easily. So I think the management and the organization, the strategy management team should be clearly aware of it. Whatever strategy you're making, it should be transparent, it should be clean, it should be compliant, it should be dealt with highest level of corporate governance. And strategy also incorporates a risk management process whereby the financial exposure and the reputation and brand exposure issues are, those things are taken care of well in advance. So like Narayana Murthy said, whatever you do, there, you can still do business legally and ethically in this country. So how do you do that? Infosys is a great example. You can create large value. Infosys or Tata Group or similar groups, they have been able to do business ethically and most transparently and legally. So these things are very important in the strategic management process. You cannot make a mistake and then try to recover the losses that that come along with making bad decisions or shortcut kind of ideas to grow your business. That is not going to happen. I think we have seen enough in this country in the last few years now, since the breakout of 2G scam and then subsequently coal scam, and a whole lot of other things are coming up. We are seeing it in the media every day. So I think that's very important, because this is the foremost important thing in order to understand how it is going to impact your organization growth. Regulatory forces. So regulatory forces like RBI, Reserve Bank of India, SEBI, IRDA, TRAI, these are bodies which are formulated by the government authorities, which are neutral bodies, which don't have any executive control from the government, but it's an independent regulatory body within the framework of the regulatory legal guidelines, passed by the parliament. They devise policies for different industries. For example, RBI is for the financial services sector, banking and financial services sector. So they're primarily for the banking sector. So they control the monetary policy, they control the foreign exchange reserves for the country, for the government. And they are the keepers of account, for the government. So obviously RBI, whatever decision RBI takes, it will have a major impact on the banking industry. So once the banking industry is impacted, banking industry become the backbone of any growth, any economy. It will have a cascading impact on the different industries working in the environment. So you must remember that. What is that? We'll talk about it in detail, how an interest rate increase or a decrease or an inflation or a deflation or a stagflation. These are different terminologies, right? So what kind of monetary policy RBI is going to devise? How it is going to impact, or if it is going to support the industry or it is going to support the inflation. So industry growth and inflation. So we'll talk about that in detail as well. Economic forces. And a lot of macroeconomic forces, whether it is inflation, GDP growth, or the current account deficit or fiscal deficit, these are terminologies the management should clearly track, how the country is moving, what kind of trajectory the country is in. So what is going to come? So how do you plan for your resources? How do you manage your organization? Even if there is an interest rate hike, you are provisioning certain aspects in order to ensure your financial financial performance is way ahead. So I think there are many companies who have mastered this. For example, foreign exchange, foreign currency movement, the dollar went from 58 rupees to 68 rupees. So how do you still make your organization profitable? I think that's where the planning comes. That's where the strategic management process helps. Social forces. There's a whole lot of lifestyle changes that happen outside in the market here in India. In the last 10 years, social lifestyles have changed. The way we do, way we look at our life has completely changed. Whether it is owning a house or a mobile phone or a television or an automobile or a two-wheeler or a four-wheeler, or the how movie going experience, or the mobile phones, the gadgets that you're using. So completely it has changed. It is going to really impact your organization. You know, what kind of buying, what is the segment that is that you're going to address? How are you going to really make a plan, a go-to-market plan, which is going to impact your organization positively, leveraging and leveraging the social social lifestyle changes that keep happening in this country. So I think it's a very it's a food for thought. It's a very thing, a very important thing, which every organization need to look at it very seriously. So we'll talk about that in detail. The technological forces, we talked about it. There are a lot of innovation and new products and new services that are being launched by technology companies, whether overall performance with a lot of features, whether it is a car or whether you're buying a television, LCD or LEDs, based technology, or a mobile phone. Today the mobile phones is it has become one single device, very powerful device in your hand. You can control your whole, your overall, performance. You can access the bank. You can pay your bills. You can access your messages, whether it is an email or a, WhatsApp application or your Facebook or your LinkedIn account. So everything can be done over there. It has completely changed the devices that we are talking about. It has completely, while it is on the one side, it is interfering too much in your personal life, and but at the same time, it gets you the whole gets the whole world into your, into your smartphone, and all details are available there. So that's the kind of technological change that we're seeing today, with the introduction of technologies like cloud and mobility and big data analytics and social media. I think the whole landscape has changed in the last few years. It's very, very, very powerful, very impacting. It's impacting your life, and it makes you more productive in the process. So we'll talk about that. There are wearable devices. You wear a particular band on your hand. How does it monitor your health, health vital signs? So we will talk about that. There are a whole lot of things happening in the market. Demographic forces. These are very important for a country like India. India and China having the highest population. India is having 1.24 billion population. So you can see, we have different strata of society. We have the pyramid, the big pyramid, which starts from bottom of the pyramid to the top income group, high net worth individuals in the country. So you can do, you can create products and market segments for each of those, people, each of those people who are living in each of those, each of the strata, the level of society. So, it also involves, understanding the society in a different manner, understanding the demographics in a different manner, what kind of age group, the gender levels, income levels, so these will help you to innovate new products for that particular, target segment. And you can come out with new products. For example, automobile industry, they come out with a beautiful two-wheeler, a scooty kind of a thing for ladies. So ladies can use that, for short haul, travel around their neighborhood. So you create products. Even the cars, car industry comes with, for example, i10 is a good ladies car. So you can, so for gender-based product innovation is already happening. Or the age group wise for children, this is the kind of product that children like. This is the kind of product adults like. So different age groups, you can create product innovation. So how does that, how do you have a strategy for your organization targeting these different age groups? So that's all about demographics. So we talked about political and legal forces. Major forces include elections, the election, general elections that happened in May, and the NDA government came with majority, clean sweep in the parliamentary elections, which is a good thing for the country because the country was expecting a clean mandate. So the new government is able to take decisions, legal decisions, and legal activities and executive activities in terms of in order to revive, making decisions in order to revive the whole economy. The economy has been going through major downturn in the last 2-3 years. So investors were going away from India. Investors were pulling out money from India, from the stock markets, and they didn't like, because the growth had plummeted to 4.4. I think you have not heard of 4.4 GDP rate in the last more than 10-12 years. After reaching a level of 9+ in 2010-11, so last 3 years we have been lagging, and the policy paralysis has really impacted the functioning of the government, and new policies were not framed. They didn't have a mandate because of the alliance issues. There were coalition support in the earlier government. So the UPA government was not really able to take bold decisions which would have revived the economy. Having said that, the capability of the new government, people have faith in that, and they have the ability to take decisions which will support the industry, support the economy. So I think this area is really getting exciting. Most organizations are watching for what this government is doing, the new NDA government. We are already, in the 100 days, last 100 days that we have seen, there has been a tremendous amount of traction and momentum that's been built. There are a lot of incremental changes that have happened in the policies, which have created a positive sentiment returning to the whole economy. The investors are coming back. The stock market has appreciated more than 15-20% in the last 1 year. So I think that is really good. Because stock market is a leading indicator for the economic revival. So I am sure in the next 1 or 2 quarters, the economy will revive in a positive manner. Already we are seeing the G1 GDP growth for the financial year 14-15 to be around 5.6. So it has jumped from 4.4 to 4.6. That was the level that we had last seen in the Q3 and Q4 of the last financial year, 13 and 14. In 14-15 Q1, we are seeing a tremendous improvement of 5.6. So if we can sustain that, 5.6 becomes 6, and then around that 6.5 in the Q3 and Q4, we will clearly see the GDP growth for this financial year to be 5 point around the 6+. So that's what the economists are predicting, forecasting. So I think this is very, very important, political, legal, and that system. How fast Supreme Court decisions on various things, for the malpractices and unethical way of doing business. I think there is a cleanup which is happening on one side, and there is a revival that's happening on the other side. That's the net story of India today. Cleaning up happening on the one side and revival happening on the other side, which is good because we need both. And we need to have a much more powerful economy, and where the investors have a lot of confidence. It is not about doing hanky-panky things, and then after 3-4 years, you get caught in those scams and scandals. I think that we don't want to see again. So that we have seen in the last few years. Now I think the investors' faith and confidence will only come if there is transparency, there is governance, corporate governance, there is there is compliance all over the, by all adopted being adopted by all the companies. So it's very important. Now let's talk about regulatory forces, how it impact your organization strategy. So we talked about RBI formulating policies for the banking industry. So what does it mean, the monetary policy? The monetary policy is a document where, they have the mandate to control the inflation of the economy, and also at the same time, how do you explore possibilities of aiding growth? So there are multiple scenarios, multiple challenges, multiple scenarios. So no one thing works at a time. It's a combination of different monetary policy tools the RBI is able to use in order to ensure that the unwanted things are under control, and what we need to see is going in the right direction. What I mean by unwanted things is the inflation and high deficits, the twin deficits like fiscal deficit and current account deficit, inflation. How do you control all of that? And at the same time, how do you improve your foreign exchange reserves? How do you improve the growth in the economy, the GDP growth? I think that's the whole framework with which the monetary policy is being devised. So similarly, the other regulatory bodies are there. We talked about IRDA, we talked about PF regulatory fund, we talked about the SEBI, Securities and Exchange Board of India, TROI, Telecom Regulatory Authority of India. There are many other regulatory bodies. These are some of the examples, you know, starting with RBI. RBI is a key apex body. You know, its primary function is to formulate policies, to issue new licenses, bring stability into the economy. So how do you even out, balance it out, you know, given there are many factors that you need to, you know, control, right, from inflation rate to interest rate to growth to deficits, right? So I think that's where, you know, regulatory forces come into picture. Similarly, SEBI takes a watch, keeps a watch on the capital market, be it the exchanges, Bombay Stock Exchange, the Commodity Exchange, National Stock Exchange, the brokers, security, you know, dealers, foreign exchange, how it is flowing. So a lot of things they do flowing into the markets, you know, so that's the job. So Insurance Regulatory Board is basically, they are mandated to develop the insurance penetration in the country by regulating the market and bringing in best practices. The one of the foremost things that a regulatory body brings to the economy is to ensure that the best practices are followed and, you know, non-compliances and non-transparent processes are removed so that the customers are, you know, customers are getting a fair treatment in any of the company they're dealing with for their product or service. So I think that's the, in nutshell, you know, it brings to the table. Stipulates governance standards, which I talked about. How do you bring about transparency and governance? How do you create new best practices? How do you make the companies follow the financial sector or automobile sector or, you know, insurance sector or telecom sector or even the capital markets? How do you make them comply with such, you know, governance standards? So I talked about malpractices. How do you, you know, how do you bring in restrictions when the things are going not in favor? Define conditions for respective industry and secure economy from external shocks. External shocks, like for example, in 2008, when Lehman Brothers collapsed, there was a whole impact, cascading impact on global markets. Our markets went to the level of 8,000 from 21,000. No, Sensex, I'm talking about. So when that happens, you know, investors pull out money from the companies, from the stocks. So what happened? Then the whole market, you know, goes down. And it creates outflow from India and it creates a huge deficit on the foreign exchange side. Touchwood, we had good reserves at that point in time. We were able to, and we had, our economy was growing at 8 to 9% at that time. And we had gone down to 6% growth briefly. And then we were able to come back to 8-9 the year 10-11. So 8-9, 9-10, 10-11, we had, you know, we moved from 8-9 growth to a growth of 6, and then we came back to again 9 in 10-11. But from then on, 11-12, 12-13, 13-14, we had a very tough time. We had a rough patch in the economy. The growth was declining. Growth declined from 9 to 4.5. Just imagine. So that's very, you know, that's the worst period in our economy. So external shocks is, you know, when there is external shock, when there is a policy change, when there are policy changes in the US economy or European economy, it will immediately have an overnight impact on the Indian economy. So how do you, you know, basically, you know, prevent our country from external factors? So, and at the same time, you maintain the value of rupee or, you know, your rupee cannot get devalued or depreciated. Or dollar becomes appreciated, so it becomes very costly to import your things, your you know, things like oil, gold, and a whole lot of other import items that you need to run your economy. India, with 1.2 billion population, it is very difficult to ensure running the economy and keeping the lights on all the time without import. So import is a very critical component. So for that, the dollar exchange rate is very important. So you need to control that external factor. How do you control the external factor in such a way that it doesn't impact the economy and it doesn't leave a big hole in the foreign exchange reserve for the RBI? So malpractices, so we talked about it, we talked about scams and scandals. I think we need to have tight rules and regulations and transparency mechanism and governance mechanism and high quality of corporate governance. I think these are very important things I think the strategy management team should consider while devising the strategy for your organization.